Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by...
We've got good news. The world is open again, and people like you, people of faith, are traveling to Catholic sites around the world. Want to travel with exceptional Catholic leaders this fall, next year, or in the future? Are you looking to see specific sites, celebrate traditional Latin Mass, or travel to destinations without vaccine requirements? We are here to help you deepen your faith on pilgrimage. Give us a call at 1-800-842-4842 or visit us online at selectinternationaltours.com. Select International Tours is your pilgrimage company, and we have the perfect Catholic trip for you.
Are you looking to serve God and society? Consider putting your gifts to work as a lawyer. Ave Maria School of Law has been educating faith-filled lawyers for over 20 years. Ave Maria School of Law is committed to training lawyers to use law appropriately around the moral issues of our time. Visit avemarialaw.edu to learn more about integrating your faith with a law degree.
Vision, mission, and values are the blueprint for the business you want to build. Are they gathering dust on a shelf, or are they honored and lived by everyone in your organization? God gave you a blueprint, too, for building a life with Him. In this week's episode of By Your Life, we talk about living as doers and not just hearers of His Word, lest we delude ourselves. Welcome to the 179th episode of By Your Life. I'm Lisa Hudeman, and I know that you have 100 different things you could be doing right now. So I thank you for choosing By Your Life. My goal is to inspire, empower, support, challenge, and encourage you to connect Sunday with Monday through Friday in a secular business world. It's my desire to help you live our Catholic faith in the marketplace. I hope to offer you practical ways to go forth and glorify the Lord by your life. In this edition, we'll reflect on the readings for the 22nd Sunday in Ordinary Time. You don't need me to tell you that 2020 was a tough year for everyone. For many, the challenges were caused by the pandemic, but for others, their problems were of their own making. I'm referring to those companies that made Forbes' list of the biggest business scandals of 2020. One of those companies was Wells Fargo. You might be as surprised as I was to hear the bank on the list. Didn't they confess to wrongdoing, pay a bunch of fines, and promise to clean up their act years ago? Yes, they did. In 2016, Wells Fargo paid $185 million in penalties. CEO John Stumpf retired, and the trouble seemed to be well on its way to resolution. But it wasn't. The scandal got bigger, not smaller. The size, scope, and duration of Wells Fargo's illicit conduct was staggering. In 2020, ex-CEO Stumpf paid $17.5 million in fines for his role in the scandal, and the government sought an additional $37.5 million from five other ex-officers. Not only that, the company also agreed to pay $3 billion to resolve federal criminal and civil investigations of the scandal because the bank discovered it had created 3.5 million fake accounts, not the 2 million to which it previously admitted. It also discovered it had charged more than 800,000 car loan customers for auto insurance they didn't need or even know about, which led to another $1 billion fine and a $400,000 class action settlement. 2021 has not been exempt from scandals either. A couple of weeks ago, three-term Governor Andrew Cuomo of New York resigned his office rather than endure a likely impeachment over sexual harassment allegations. An investigation commissioned by the New York Attorney General reported that Cuomo sexually harassed at least 11 women during his term in office. The former governor has emphatically denied intentionally mistreating women and claimed that pressure for him to resign was politically motivated. Is he lying? Well, his intent is hard to prove, but he's deluding himself to believe that his behavior isn't mistreatment of women. Those of us who never step foot in the governor's office can only speculate, but one of his accusers said that Cuomo sexually harassed her for years and that many saw it and watched. My point in bringing this up is that as egregious as his behavior may have been, it wasn't just the governor who is to blame for the toxic and hostile workplace. In fact, the probe found that Cuomo's staff took action intended to discredit and disparage an accuser. There were those who actively participated and others who passively allowed it to continue, or as the accuser said, saw it and watched. And how could Wells Fargo create 3.5 million fake accounts? The executives who rightly paid big fines for their roles are only part of the problem. I can't help but think that the bank wouldn't have been paying billions in fines to settle misconduct charges if some employees had reported the scheme when they first knew about it. The Me Too movement that brought attention to widespread sexual harassment across the country would be unnecessary if more people, men and women, in the New York governor's office and elsewhere, refused to look the other way and tolerate this injustice in their workplaces. These headline-making, sensational stories are just the tip of the iceberg of what goes on in organizations nationwide every day. We are all presented with situations where we have to decide between what is right and wrong and how we are going to respond. And it is not just about what we might do wrong. It is about what we might fail to do right that is cause for concern. As I often tell my clients, if you are not part of the solution, you are part of the problem. In the second reading, St. James encourages us to be doers of the word and not hearers only, deluding yourselves. When the Wells Fargo scandal first broke 5 years ago, I searched their company website to see what they had said their core values were. This is what I found. Our values should guide every conversation, decision, and interaction. Our values should anchor every product and service we provide and every channel we operate. If we can't link what we do to one of our values, we should ask ourselves, why are we doing it? It's that simple. We have 5 primary values that are based on our vision and provide the foundation for everything we do. They are: what's right for customers, people as a competitive advantage, ethics, diversity and inclusion, and leadership. What Wells Fargo said was right. It just wasn't a doer of its word. Their leaders were deluding themselves. Unfortunately, too many companies are led by people who give lip service to their core values. They don't own the values, and therefore they don't live them. This lack of congruency between what is said and what is done undermines trust. It would be better not to have stated values at all. So why does this happen? Why do leaders like those at Wells Fargo invest time and energy in creating a list of company core values only to abandon them when facing financial or other pressures? I don't think they start out with the intent to be hypocrites. I think it's because they totally miss the point. Somewhere they read that they need to have a vision, mission, and values, and they do. But they don't really understand the purpose. They fail to grasp how the vision, mission, and values are the blueprint for the businesses they want to build. What happens is the blueprint goes into a drawer or on the shelf and it gathers dust. I have worked with clients who did grasp the implication of stating their core values and then not honoring them with their decisions and behaviors. They knew that they would be hypocrites the minute they announced them to their employees because they weren't living up to the values they had defined. They created a list of aspirational values, and they knew they had to change their ways if they were to truly become the guiding principles for the organization. I give these people a lot of credit because at least they honestly admitted their fears and they humbly moved forward, making progress on the personal growth needed to make the values their own. But why change? Because they recognized that what they were doing wasn't working for them. Morale was low, and they were not hitting their financial targets. They knew they couldn't keep doing the same thing and expect different results. They also recognized they couldn't keep being who they were and expect to behave differently. They had to change if their company was going to change. And in the end, they just weren't having fun anymore. So they were willing to do the hard work needed to build a business that was a great place to work. The reason you bother to define core values is because you believe that your company will be a better place to work if people embrace them. But this can only happen if every person in the organization is a doer who acts according to the values. It is not enough for team members to know all the rules of the game, but remain on the sidelines. They have to get in the game. In all the years I've been facilitating core values conversations, I have never had a leadership team identify dishonesty, hubris, greed, malice, deceit, envy, or arrogance as their core values. Obviously, that would be ridiculous. However, I have worked for many organizations that suffered from the effects of these core problems. The reality is that every leader and organization operate according to a set of values. The question is, are those values the ones for which you want to be known and which lead to success? When you fail to create a culture based on positive values, these negative qualities can grow and fill the void. God knows this. That's why He handed down commandments by which we should live. These commandments aren't a list of rules to keep us from living, rather the truth that gives us life. God has given us a blueprint for building a life with Him. Is your copy of the blueprint gathering dust on a bookshelf? Or is it your go-to guide for living your life? This Sunday's readings is a call to all of us to look in the mirror. Living our faith has real implications for our decisions in the marketplace. We can't leave our faith in the pews on Sundays when we walk out of church. Otherwise, we are the ones of whom Jesus speaks when He quotes Isaiah. "This people honors me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. In vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrines human precepts." Which human precepts are keeping your heart from honoring God? If we listen to the gospel message but not practice it, we are failing to improve ourselves spiritually. If we have a list of guiding principles but do not honor them, we are failing to grow and develop ourselves personally and professionally. How does our Catholic faith shape who you are at work? Do you humbly welcome the word that has been planted in you? St. James wrote, "Religion that is pure and undefiled before God and the Father is this: to care for orphans and widows in their affliction and to keep oneself unstained by the world." Yes, care for the widows and orphans and sick and poor. And take care that you also speak up when there is an injustice in the workplace. Do not allow yourself to be stained by what the world teaches. Edmund Burke said, "The only thing necessary for the triumph of evil is for good men to do nothing." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we know that you are close and will answer when we call upon you. Help us to carefully observe your commandments. Give us the grace to courageously live the gospel every day, personally and professionally, so that in all that we do, we may glorify you by our lives. And may God bless you abundantly this week as you are doers of His word, and may you glorify the Lord by your life. If you like this episode, spread the word. You know what to do: forward, share, or click to post. And you can check out the resources page on our website at buyyourlife.com, where you'll find a link to the books and other resources mentioned in other episodes of Buy Your Life. I'm always interested in what you think, so give me some feedback or just leave me a comment.
This is Kevin O'Brien of EWTN's Theater of the Word. I'm excited also to teach middle school and high school literature, speech, and drama with homeschoolconnections.com, an online Catholic curriculum provider. Your student can meet with me online for a live, interactive class. Whether you take apologetics with John Martinoni, or grade school with Jackie De La Viaga, or any of the other 400-plus courses with homeschoolconnections.com, online Catholic learning for your homeschooling family is available for you.